This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We'll start with the broadcast section with no embargo, followed by an embargo section for 10:30 p.m. tonight. No live tweeting during the broadcast section and use a microphone provided. Michael.
Grant.
Good, Michael.
Firstly, the Premier League clubs have voted in favour of semi-automated offside technology for next season. Are you in favour of that decision?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know a lot about it, but if it means they make decisions quicker and it's clearer, all for it.
Newcastle tomorrow is a big game, St James's. We've seen another club, Everton, with more points deductions this week, and PSR's been on the agenda. Is it difficult in terms of a club who have got a lot of wealth in terms of ownership, but obviously PSR is going to be looked at and potentially changed? Where do you stand on it exactly? Because in terms of unlimited wealth, but we need some kind of ruling, don't we?
We're going down this rabbit hole again, are we? We did this last week. Smarter heads than me in this space are locked in rooms making these decisions. I said last week, I think there's always got to be some sort of regulation around a safety net for clubs to make sure they don't overspend for their own good and also a competitive balance within that. But I've always felt not at the expense of, the quality that we're trying to produce in the best league in the world. So again, I think from my perspective, I'll leave that to the guys who probably know better.
At the end of the game last week at Forest, I noticed you were quick to try and look for Pierre-Emile Højbjerg. He made quite an impression off the bench on Sunday. How impressed were you with him? And he's obviously talked about potentially his future in January. But just more on that, you sort of looked to seek him out. Did he do exactly what you were looking for at halftime?
Yeah, no, he was him and Roddy was good. I try and get to all the players after the game. Some of them get off quicker than others, so I've got to chase them down the tunnel. But I think I said after the game, I thought Pierre and Rodri coming on at half time really helped us last week. It was a game that kind of needed something a little bit different than what we had. I thought Biss and Pape did well enough in the first half and worked really hard. But I thought for where the game was at and the way sort of Forest was setting up, having Pierre and Rodri in there with their experience and Pierre particularly with his passing range, I thought we could really sort of use it to sort of start and start working and particularly switching the flanks and it worked well. And well, Pierre's been good. He hasn't started as many games probably as he'd like, but whenever we've needed him, he's done a good job for us. And I think from our perspective, we're in a good place at the moment where we have a squad that I can make these changes, within games or between games.
That's all.
Thank you.
Seb.
Hi, Ange. It's always difficult to travel to Newcastle 12:30 on a Saturday, and we saw the game last season where Spurs were, I think, 5-0 down after 21 minutes. Are you expecting a tough challenge once again tomorrow, and have you watched that game back maybe?
No, I haven't, and because there's no reason to for me. It'll be a tough game. I mean, I don't think the 12:30 kickoff, I mean, we're leaving today, so I don't think there's anything around that, so we'll have good preparation for it. And it's a tough game. It's they're obviously they're going through a tough time themselves in terms of injuries, like most clubs this year. But probably they've been hurt probably for a more prolonged period. But, you know, when I watch them, particularly at home, they're still a very, very good side. I think the crowd gives them a lot of energy, irrespective of who they put out there. And the games, irrespective of who they play against, tend to be fairly high tempo because of the energy in the stadium. So we're going to have to match that energy tomorrow. I mean, it's the way we like to play our football as well. So hopefully, you know, by bringing our own energy to it, we can, you know, we can sort of overcome the challenge. It's going to be a tough one.
James Maddison said it in an interview this week that you're trying to make them look at the bigger picture, more the long term. Can you tell us a bit more about how you see that bigger picture?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what he was referencing about, but yeah, for me, it's just, as I've always said, it's about continual growth. It's about not sort of being, you know, settling for kind of where we're at the moment. You know, we've had a decent season. We've had improvements in a lot of areas, but we know we've still got a long way to go. And, you know, it's about constantly reinforcing the players that, you know, and the staff that, you know, we should really still be focusing on growth, on how we can be better rather than sort of where we are at the moment. And, you know, don't, never lose sight of the fact that ultimately our ambition is to bring success to the football club, and, you know, we're not in that space yet.
You've got a tough run of games coming up, probably the toughest for any team in the Premier League. How excited are you as a manager going into those games?
I think they're all tough. I'd be very surprised if anyone has an easy game. We certainly didn't think it was easy against Forest, who are fighting for their lives, or Luton, or you know, West Ham. I think every game, I think Saturday, and we've got, you know, seven tough games to go, but I think every team's got tough games because I think just about every club's got something to play for. And, you know, I don't think it's about ladder positions right now. It's about knowing that you're going into a game on the weekend with against an opponent who'll be you know, determined to gain something for themselves, and we've got to be ready for that.
Thank you.
Jack, please.
And last season, Newcastle finished 11 points ahead of Tottenham. This season, you're currently 13 points ahead of Newcastle. Does that underline your point about how Champions League qualification isn't necessarily the be-all and end-all for a football club?
Well, I mean, I guess I gave that as an example of, yeah, one of the reasons why I don't think it should be a kind of, you know, end point or some avenue that you think will get you to kind of be successful and sustained for a sustained period, just because you have achieved that. And and certainly there's a, you know, there's a cautionary tale there that, you know, getting into Champions League also means greater demands on players, demands on the squad, and you have to be geared up for it, or else it can affect all parts of your season. So you know, and I think it's been tough on Newcastle this year, because I think they were probably, you know, their progress last year was fantastic. The reward for that was Champions League football, but, you know, this year, for whatever reason, you know, it's made a really challenging season on all fronts for them, with the amount of sort of attrition they've had through the squad.
Have you learned anything from how Newcastle have gone about it this year?
No, because I don't think that's the way you learn. I think you learn from your own sort of journey and understanding of every club's unique, every sort of approach is different. You've got to already have sort of a set idea in your own mind and about how you need to set up and what you need for your own growth. You're obviously aware of what other, you know, clubs and other managers or people go through, but ultimately, I think from my perspective anyway, what I've experienced in my career is that everything's a little bit unique, and you never really know all the details about somebody else's kind of trajectory. And you know, sometimes, you know, there are some false lessons that lie in there that seem quite obvious, but when you peel it back, actually, you know, not really a good reference point for yourself.
Go pass to Ali, please.
Hi, Ange. Just check team news. Is Richarlison still out?
Yeah, he'll miss this week. He's close, but with the weekend off next week, we just feel, you know, obviously, last sort of two rounds are pretty stacked with games for us, and having him ready for that, I think, is more important. So, but he's progressing well.
Got stuck down a bit of a rabbit hole myself yesterday. I was going into how your squad will look this summer in terms of loan players coming back, homegrown requirements, foreign players, things like that. And I think you're going to have about 35 upwards of players in your first team squad. Is that something you have to tackle with the recruitment team before you can even start thinking about who comes in?
That's an ongoing process. I think it was similar last year when I took over. It's just part of the process of planning. I think the difference from last year is that we're well into that sort of planning, whereas last year we kind of had to do it on the run a little bit because obviously I came in post the season and we had a big squad then and we had a lot of decisions to make about players who were coming back from loan, players who needed to go out on loan, players we needed to bring in and move out. So I think this year we're sort of a lot more sort of calm in our approach because we've been working on it for quite a while, Johan and the people in the football department.
One thing I noticed within it, there's a lack of kind of club-trained senior players in your squad at the moment. And if you get European football, not saying that's a target, but if you get European football, Oliver Skip would be one of those few club-trained players. I think it's only like 3 or 4. Obviously, he needs regular football, hasn't played much, hasn't been getting in squads. Does that make it kind of difficult for him to, if he did want to maybe move on loan, or it means you have to keep him next season regardless?
No, we're quite comfortable in that situation as well. Every player's, decisions about individual players will all be made in the context of what's good for the club and what's good for the player, and hopefully there's some sort of alignment there. Sometimes there isn't, but from our perspective, again, we're comfortable that with the squad we have that we'll make decisions that are going to be sort of beneficial for us in terms of our growth. And but a lot of those individual things, individual player decisions, won't happen until post-season.
Okay, we'll finish this section with George at the back, please.
Hi, Ange. I just wanted to go back to the previous Newcastle game, and you'd obviously had a really good start to the season, but that was the time when you had the suspensions and injuries. I think you'd lost 4 out of 5 going into that, even though performances had been good. How significant did that 4-1 win feel at the time, or even now?
I think it was important in the context of, like you said, the results. Obviously, you don't want to go through too long a spell where you're not picking up, wins, because obviously that affects kind of the course of your season. As you said, I thought our performances prior to that were still pretty strong. We obviously weren't getting over the line for one reason or another, but I thought on that day we played really well. We were really aggressive. I think our front third play was probably the area that we kind of got most joy out of on the day, and it was a pleasing result, especially at home, because we dropped a couple of games at home we probably shouldn't have because our performances were good enough, but we just lacked a bit of cutting edge in the front third and made some mistakes defensively. So I guess from the results point of view, it was it was important, but from a performance or some sort of extra significance, no more than any other game.
And you got the 2-week break after this match. Is there any kind of plans to arrange a behind closed door friendly, or do you kind of feel like it'll just be a normal 2 weeks of training?
We'll probably just keep it in house. We'll train right through. We kind of feel that we get sort of better output when we kind of use the group and push the group as a whole. So at this stage the plan is to train through and sort of get ready for the running.
And just finally, away from the men's team, the women's team have got a really big game on Sunday. You watched them, didn't you, back in December? I mean, how helpful are you and everyone at the club that they can get over the line and make the final, FA Cup final?
I think Rob and the girls have been outstanding this year. Again, you have to remember, they had disappointing year last year. Rob's come in and he's changed a lot of things and in terms of their football. But I can see that they're building some real belief. And it's a semi-final of a cup, and it's great that it's at the stadium. I'm sure the girls will get plenty of support. And, they've had a great deal of belief to get to this point. You need that for a cup run. And hopefully that... that comes out again on the weekend and they get to a final, which would be great for them, but great for our club.
Okay, we'll end the broadcast section there and move on to the embargoed section.
And the 6-1 at Newcastle last year was the first time Pedro Parra played at right back in a back four. And I think that kind of coloured the perception from outside the club that you couldn't do that. He was a kind of specialist wing back. You started Emerson in the first game there. I mean, did you ever have any concerns that Pedro could play the role he's playing now?
No, I didn't. After working with him, obviously, during the pre-season, I thought both him and Emmy, I mean, I think all of our fullbacks, we play that role a little bit differently, so there's sort of some different characteristics you look for. And I thought with the lads we had here, I thought that was one area of the pitch that we had some really good sort of reinforcements in. But no, I really enjoyed working with Pedro right from the start. He's got great energy. He's very, very good technically. He's really eager to learn. You know, he's done a lot of work on his defensive work with Wellesley and the defensive unit as a group. And I think he's benefited from that and he's sort of grown into it. And I still think there's a lot more growth in him because, you know, I think he's tackling the defensive side of his job, which probably was the one thing that maybe people had some scepticism around. Obviously, when you play as a wing back, you don't need to defend, particularly in a one-on-one situation. But I think he's been outstanding this year, dealing with some pretty good wingers in this league. Rarely has he been sort of left short on that, and he's wanting to learn. So no, I mean, I think there's a lot more in him, and really pleased that he's kind of embraced the way we play our football. Yeah, again, Pape, just a super energy about him. Every day he trains trains with a smile on his face, but he works damn hard, and he's a really exciting footballer. He's one of these midfielders who you need these days, who are very dynamic, covers the ground really well, defensively, offensively, gets into the box. He scored a couple of goals for us this year. His technical ability is strong, and he's a good ball carrier as well, and he's still young. I feel that he's another one that's just so much more growth in from all aspects, and I just really like his kind of just general demeanour. I think he feels like he's kind of been blessed to have this opportunity, and he's going to make everything, do everything to make the most out of it, and it's great to have him as part of the group. He's obviously, he's very popular within the group because of his nature, And but he's a hell of a footballer. I've got a lot of time for Pape, and I think, again, he's another one where there's just a lot of growth there, from what.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I see. Yeah, look, it's always a bit of a challenge for the players, but their beliefs that they feel very strongly about, and we try and support them in the best way we can. And he's gone about his football still diligently, and gone through what he needs to go through. And now it's over, and I'm sure for him it'll sort of allow him now to get back to the levels he needs to get to.
Just picking up on Dan's question about Pedro, one of the highlights of the first half of the season was watching Pedro and Desti in particular, such an impact going forward, the way he played, the same with James Maddison as well. Of late, perhaps from a numbers point of view, they're not having quite as big an attacking impact. Do you think that a lot of that is to do with teams starting to adapt to the time we started?
No, I don't think so. I think I said after the game that I think we've been working with Pedro and Destiny in particular. I think they're still getting into some great areas. Probably haven't had the output, but I think I think I've been consistent saying all year, in our front third, we have a lot of our players still, still a long way to go in terms of where we want to be. But No, I still think, I mean, Pedro scored last week. I think, you know, destiny was in the box when he scored. So, you know, I still think it's a, you know, it's still an effective sort of way for us to get through opposition teams with the quality those two players have. Different qualities in terms of the way they kind of get into those attacking thirds. But, no, it's just stuff we're working on with them constantly. And, again, we're seeing some improvement. It's probably something you have to ask Eric. I mean, I don't know what you mean by tactical work. I think all we do is work on everything's geared around how we're going to play our football. So for me, that by extension is tactical work. So whether that's on us, whether that's on the opposition, in fact, I'd probably say we don't do anything apart from tactical work. That's all we do every day. If we're working on our fitness, it's still trying to play our football. So. But I'm not sure. I haven't seen the interview, so I'm not sure what he's referencing. But yeah, if you're talking about, you know, do we sort of do training where we're kind of standing around and working on how we're going to stop an opposition, how we're going to break down? No, I don't do that. But I don't think that's the only kind of tactical work that exists. There's other kind of tactical work. But I think anyone who trains with us will tell you that all we do is train the way we play. So. If, I mean, maybe that's not tactical work, I don't know. It's not for me to answer.
And just finally, Harry Kane left in the summer, decided to have a heart to leave the club and the project that you were embarking on with the view of hoping winning trophies at Bayern Munich. Obviously, they're still in the Champions League. There's a chance that they can still do it, but there's also a chance that they've won. There's been a little bit of schadenfreude perhaps behind the comments, Spurs fans and fans in the wider fan
base
about that not potentially happening. Do you think if he doesn't win any trophies, it's
sort
of fair comment not to view that move as
success? No, I don't think that's fair, because I'm not going to speak for Harry, for God's sake, but I don't think that's the only reason he left. I think he was pretty clear that he wanted a different experience, and I think there's nothing wrong with that. That's been my whole career. He was at one club for a very long time. He was at a point where he either makes a decision to become, stay a one club man, which is fair enough, or he can experience something different as a footballer, maybe as a person. I don't know. Again, it's questions for him. So I don't get this as just the notion that he just moved just to win things. I don't think if he had stayed here, he didn't think he was going to win things. So I just think, you know, he wanted a different experience, and he's getting that, you know, and I'm sure, you know, he'll. You know, at the end of his career, you know, if you know that was his reasoning behind it, I think he'll find that, you know, he does. It gives you, you know, a real broad experience about what football's about, what life's about. So, yeah, I don't think that's fair on him. But ultimately, all these decisions you make about your personal career, you know, I know every decision I've made in my career, you know, it's very hard for other people sometimes to understand, because they're not living my life. You know, they're not with my family, they're not with the people around me to know why you come to these decisions. So, and they're very rarely around too many simplistic things. You know, most of the time, you know, there's a whole range of factors you kind of put into it.
Kieran.
Not interested in sort of putting a limit on that, because as you said 4 years ago, you know, if somebody maybe said to him one day, you know, your goal should be to play in the Premier League, well, he's done it at 22, then there's a potential there for him to sort of say, oh, well, I've done. So I think with all these things, you never put limits on it. But yeah, he's done brilliantly, and the growth in again in him is another one. I mean, that's the exciting thing for me with this group, is that we've got a real core that I just think there's still so much growth in them because invariably it's either their first season in the Premier League or they're still young in age, and you know they've adapted so well, and they're at a big club where there still are expectations. So it's not like they're going to fly under the radar by you know doing 2 or 3 years and then moving to a big club. You know they're under the spotlight straight away, whether that's you know Vic in goal or Mickey or Brennan or you know Destiny Pape, these guys who we've brought in. Kind of this year, and you know Mickey falls. But and again, the beauty of it is he just wants more. And I said during the week, you know, it's up to us to make sure that we don't stunt his growth by putting a limit on you know, how good he can be. Look, he's been fantastic for us this year, and he's continuing to grow. And where that takes him, hopefully it's beyond whatever he has in his mind or anyone else has in their mind.
Is that something special about this group, sort of maturity beyond the years? Because in Chelsea, they've signed a lot of young players and it's not really worked.
Yeah, and it's not easy, particularly when you're talking about you know the toughest competition you know, in the world, club competition. So, you know, I have been pleased with that, with the way that a lot of the guys have just really accepted the challenge of you know, playing for the club and you know, sort of challenging them to play in a certain way that's going to expose them in many respects, but them not shying away from that. Because the way we played that, again, you know, whether it's Mickey or Vic or all those guys I mentioned, you know, it kind of puts them right out there in terms of, you know, they have to sometimes defend without any cover or attack without any support or just do things that are going to be a real challenge for them, and they've embraced that. And obviously, that's the exciting bit for me. That also the responsibility I have is that you know there's a good core in there that has still got so much more that they can give. And at the same time, they've already sort of acquit themselves really well. I think I watched Sunderland till I die. That was good, and the rest of them are a bit.
Not the Spurs one.
No, because I just think it becomes a bit manufactured. I think you know, I'd be very surprised if you get a real sort of behind the scenes. But I mean, there's a look. You know, who am I to say? I'm no movie critic, but maybe people like them, but not for me. I love documentaries, but nah.
Would you get one for
you now? Nah. Well, unless you want a cure for insomnia, mate, you can put it on late at night and just dream yourself away.
Finish with John, please.
I was going to ask you something similar because you said you didn't watch the
something daft. No, I don't think that. I'd be very surprised if people. I mean, my sort of research on it was more on the individual players. So I might have watched individual players in that game, but I wouldn't have watched the game as a reference point because it's totally different. It's a you know, different set of circumstances, different manager, different. You don't again. You know, I'm really reticent to judge and try and figure out what somebody else is doing because I'm not in their shoes on a daily basis. So. I've never used those kind of things. And also I know that irrespective of what's happened in the past, probably more than likely I'm being brought in to do something differently. So, like I said, I mean, I would have watched all the players individually through the whole season and got my research on the players I was inheriting, but there wasn't a lot for me to be gained by watching sort of matches and trying to get, again, some reference points as to how that's going to affect what I'm going to do. He's a superstar, mate. You're right. I've said it before. I think he's world class. I think he could you know, to do it as long as he has in the Premier League. As you said, and this year, you know, he missed a fair few games with the Asian Cup, and that's happened a couple of times in his journey here. Travelling to the other side of the world, representing his national team, never missing a beat there either, and to keep producing those kind of numbers, I put him right up there. And you know, again, I think there's still more to come from him in terms of, you know, I don't see him waning in terms of his abilities or his physical capacity. So, you know, if he can keep crunching out those numbers, I've got no doubt he'll go down as one of the greats of the Premier League when he's done. Maybe because of that, and I think because of kind of his background playing for Korea. I think if he played for another national team, because again, I think whatever he does for his national team gets a little bit diminished because it's not a Euros or it's not, you know, it's not a World Cup qualifier where, you know, they can sort of measure up. But, you know, I think if he was playing for any other national team, sort of in Europe or South America, and I've got no doubt he would play for whatever national team he happened to be of that nationality. I think that kind of maybe takes a little bit away from him as well. Because there's always kind of, you put these reference points and invariably people put in sort of their international records as well to sort of rank them as players. And I still think he's had an unbelievable international career as well, you know, carrying his nation for a very long time. But that's okay. I mean, I think when it's all done and dusted, I think his accomplishments and the manner in which he's gone about it, I think he'll get the accolades he deserves.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.